Hi everyone, great to be with you today as we continue our journey through Matthew chapter 13. So if you have a Bible with you, we'd love for you to turn to Matthew 13. We're exploring the parables that Jesus told to help us understand what his kingdom is like. And this week, we're up to the parables of the treasure and the pearl, which is from verse 44. Let's read them together. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had and bought it. And if we understand these stories correctly, we're going to go away from today with as much joy and gratitude in our hearts as these two men who discovered something incredibly precious, and they were just delighted to be able to give everything away that they previously possessed in order to gain this amazing thing that they had discovered. But there's a question that we need to answer first as we get ready to receive this precious gift of God's kingdom. The question is this. Are these two stories saying I need to give everything I value in life so that I can gain the kingdom of heaven? Is that the point Jesus is trying to make, that these guys found the kingdom of heaven, but they needed to go away, they needed to sell all that they had, all the treasures a man owned, his home, his clothes, his whatever possessions he might have had, the pearls that merchant had previously accumulated. They needed to sell all that stuff up so that they could buy this thing that they wanted to possess. Is it saying that that's what we need to be prepared to do in order to have the kingdom of heaven for ourselves? After all, we've read through Matthew and we've come up to chapter 10 where Jesus said these words, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So Jesus, I think, is being pretty clear here. In the kingdom of heaven, God is number one. He is our greatest love, our highest priority. There is nothing more valuable to us, no one who matters more to us than Jesus himself. And if we value anything above God, we're not actually living in the kingdom. But let's follow that logic through. If we were to answer this question, I need to give up everything I value in order to gain the kingdom of heaven, with a yes, then what do we need to say after that? What's the logic? Well, we're actually saying, therefore, the kingdom of heaven must be earned. You don't get to have it unless you give up everything else in life in order to receive it. And that's an offense to the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is a gift to be received. It's not a reward that can be earned. Jesus came to give us life, not to sell us eternal life. And what happens if you can earn the kingdom? What happens if by being sacrificial enough and selling up everything that we own or doing everything that is required, we manage to earn our way into it? What happens if that is the way the kingdom of heaven works? Well, it's going to produce people who are arrogant, entitled, judgmental, because it's all about me and what I did to earn the kingdom, how I'm better than other people, how I've sacrificed more than other people, how I deserve stuff from God because of all that I've done in order to be in the kingdom. Remember though that chapter 13 starts with stories that show us how to receive and how to share the kingdom of heaven. We receive it by believing the truth of Jesus and letting it bear fruit in our lives. We share the kingdom as we just bring out the truth of Jesus to others. And these stories, these six stories that Jesus tells between the first and the last stories, they're not about how to get into the kingdom. They're about what the kingdom is like. Each one of them begins with the same phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Not how you get it, but what it is like in its nature. And what's Jesus saying out of these two stories? Is he saying that we need to give up everything in order to earn the kingdom of heaven? No, he's saying that people who discover the kingdom of heaven will gladly trade everything else in for it. It is so amazing, so precious, so valuable that everything else pales in comparison to it. In order to understand how that plays out in our experience of life. We need to understand where we fit in the story of what God is doing in the world. What is the story of salvation? And the Bible tells that story for us. And if you've been with us as we've journeyed through Matthew 13, we've been reminded of this story. But let's quickly go through it together again today. The story begins with creation. And when God made the world, he made it good. And when he got to the end of creating the first people, Adam and Eve, he looked at everything he'd made and he said, it's really good. It's very good. We started off as humans in a perfect relationship with God and in a perfect relationship with one another and in a perfect relationship with the world that God had created for us. Everything was fantastic. But then Satan entered the story. And he sold a lie to Adam and Eve, and he convinced them that they should decide for themselves what was good and what was not. They'd been given only good things by God. They were in a world that was uncorrupted by any form of evil. But yet Satan planted this seed and got them to think, well, do I agree that God is always right when he says what is good and what is not? Or would I like to make up my own mind? They made their choice. Evil entered the world. And ever since, we've been in a position, having fallen from that position of only experiencing good things, having a perfect relationship with God, a perfect relationship with each other, a perfect connection with our world, we fell from that. Evil entered into our experience, and the world as we know it now has good in it, plenty of good in it, but it also has plenty of evil in it, and it's mixed together. So no matter how hard we try, our experience of life in this world can never measure up to the goodness of the world that God created for us. And most people have experienced that. Most people know what it's like to have that ache where even in all the good things we pursue, they never quite measure up to what we hope for. Everything seems to be tainted. Everything seems to have a shadow side to it. And that's because sin has entered our world. But the good news is this. Jesus has come to save us. He came not to judge the world, not to condemn us for the wrong choices that we make in life, but he came to free us from that stuff, to take on himself the penalty for our sin and to free us from the power of sin over us. He came to show us how to live in the kingdom of heaven, how to live according to God's definition of goodness, that when we taste and see, we can discover for ourselves God's way of living really is good. When God says something is good, it really is good in our experience. And Jesus came to show us what that kind of life looks like. He came to empower us through his spirit that he put inside us to be able to live more like that as we learn to follow his ways. And when the time is right, and only God knows when that time will be, Jesus will return and he will come to finally separate good from evil for all eternity. And for those of us who have chosen to be a part of God's kingdom, for those who have received the gift that he came to offer, we will then no longer have any struggle with evil. Evil and its consequences will be done away with forever. We will only experience God's goodness for all eternity. So what's Jesus saying in these parables? He's inviting us to become traitors. He's inviting us to trade in the futility of this life where, yes, there's goodness and there are some things that are precious and wonderful and they just enhance our experience of life. There are some great things in this life, but it can never, ever measure up to the goodness of God's kingdom. So with that in mind, let's think about the things that we treasure, the things that we value, the things that make us feel alive. And what would it be like for us, like the men in this story, to joyfully trade those things in for the kingdom of heaven? And you might be surprised that it is possible to willingly trade in the things that matter to you, that make your life better, in order to fully enjoy the blessings of God's kingdom. Especially if you've been brought up to think that, in order to be in God's family, you've got to do things that you don't really like. You've got to go to church, you've got to go to Bible study, you've got to give up doing fun things. But if you want God to be happy with you and if you want to go to heaven when you die, that's just the price you've got to pay. If you've brought up with an idea like that, or if you've had somebody kind of describe the kingdom of heaven to you in those terms, the idea of trading in the good things of this life isn't really that attractive. But let me start off with a really simple example of what Jesus is talking about here. And then we'll go from there to get a picture of what Jesus is actually talking about. I love getting out into nature. nature just invigorates me. It restores my soul. I love going for bushwalks. I love going for a paddle on the ocean. I love driving through rugged landscapes. On Wednesday, as I was leaving my office, I looked out and the sun was just setting. Golden rays were peeking through the clouds. I rang my daughter and said, hey, go outside and have a look at this. Nature is beautiful. It's just a wonderful thing to experience. But nature is also fallen and corrupted. We have storms that are destructive, earthquakes that destroy things. There are viruses that take lives and cause panic. There are poisonous animals. There's all sorts of things that go on in the natural world that are not what God intended when He made the world good. But as we enjoy the parts that are great, and as we endure the parts that are terrible, and sadly, even as we exploit nature and take what we want from it, is it possible to trade all of that in for the kingdom of heaven? What are we trading it in for? Well, what if I trade in just enjoying nature for what it is, to experiencing nature in a right relationship with God through what Jesus has done for me? Then I look at nature and I don't just see it as a thing, I see it as a gift from God. I see it as something that can remind me of God's power and His goodness and the fact that He loved us enough to make us a good world. It can move me not just to appreciate it, but to wonder and marvel at God Himself and to worship Him. So enjoyment just becomes so much richer and deeper. And in those times when I'm enduring it, when nature is not working the way that God intended it to work, I'm being reminded in that moment of sin and its consequences. I'm being reminded of the time when Jesus will come and put an end to this world precisely to get rid of stuff like that. I'm being reminded that we hope for a world which will not operate in these ways, and that brings hope to me. It also reminds me how terrible sin is, and it reminds me of the opportunity I have every day to turn away from sin in my own life in order to escape those destructive effects in my own life as well. And so even when nature isn't working well in the kingdom, it serves a useful function. And rather than exploiting nature and just taking what I want from it, I'm reminded that God gave it to us to look after for one another. And so I'm going to treat nature in a wholly different way because of the kingdom of heaven. So I'll gladly trade in an experience of nature without knowing the King to an experience of nature in the kingdom of heaven. It is so much better. Here's another really simple example. I'm going to trade in family games night. Now, what's with that, you might ask? Well, family games night is awesome. I love playing board games with the family, card games, whatever they might be. And it's just great time together. But it's not all great because I can get a little bit competitive, and especially because I want my kids to think that I'm good at everything. I know I can only keep that charade up for so long. I think those days are past. But anyway, I still try and do it. And so I can get a bit sulky if I'm not winning. I can get a little bit overeager to win. And that's not a great experience for me or for the kids that I'm playing with. But in the kingdom of heaven, family games night looks different. It's not me being selfish and trying to puff up my own ego and win at all costs. I'm actually more interested in making sure it's a good experience for everyone. So if somebody's doing well, I can genuinely rejoice with them instead of feeling jealous. And if somebody's doing poorly, I can try and make their time better instead of kind of smugly going, ha, I'm winning, ha. So games night even in the kingdom of God is much better than games night just the way that I naturally approach it by myself. And that's a good trade, not only for me, but for everyone who plays along with me. I'm also going to trade in singing to the stereo. I don't know if you're like me, I love singing. I love chucking on the music in the car and belting out those tunes. I love music, I love singing. I've enjoyed everything from classical to hip hop to pop to rock to heavy metal to grunge to blues to electronica. You know, there's so many different styles of music and there are so many great ways to enjoy music. And I especially enjoy it when the music combines with good lyrics to create great songs. I love singing along to that kind of thing. Songs that move the heart and the mind. And that's why I've traded in music and songs without Christ for the music of the kingdom of heaven. Because there's plenty of good songs. I'm not talking about only listening to Christian music. There are plenty of good songs that have good music, good messages, good stories to share, stories that are enriching, music that lifts up the soul. It does mean, I try to avoid songs that have stories and messages that don't fit with God's kingdom. I try to avoid songs where I might love the music, but the messages actually pollute my soul. I need to trade those things away. But for the most part, I can enjoy songs that are really good. But the best songs, the best messages that I can be taking into my soul are in fact messages about God and His kingdom. They're the ones that most lift my soul, that I most enjoy. Let me give you an example of one time I've experienced that. A few years ago, we had a good friend of ours pass away in a car accident, a young friend out at Narrambeen. And he was a guy who I'd been in a band with. We'd played in the church as well as in our community. We'd played everything from Guns N' Roses to Keith Green to the latest contemporary Christian worship songs. And it was a tragedy, and I felt it deeply as we were travelling out to the funeral. And at that time, I had a song playing on the stereo. It's a song called There Will Be a Day. And I sang that song with tears streaming down my face as it spoke about the kingdom of heaven and the fact that there will be a day where there will be no more suffering, no more pain, none of the things that are associated with this world, things like car crashes, will be no more, because Jesus will have taken away all of those things that cause pain in our experience. And that song, it was a brilliantly written song, great music, great message, moved my soul. It touched my heart and mind in a way that nothing else in this world could do. The music of the kingdom of heaven is worth trading up for. So there are three really simple examples of how you can trade in the stuff of this world and trade it for something better, which is a part of the kingdom of heaven. And what could that look like in terms of our experience of family? What could that look like in terms of our experience of friendships or career or sex or travel or fill in the blanks? There are so many things that become enriched, that become infinitely more precious when they are a part of the kingdom of heaven. So I wonder, what are the things that you value most in life now? The things in this world that you've experienced that have some goodness in them and become precious to us, and that's great. Do you realize that they actually find their ultimate fulfillment only in the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the only place where things are not corrupted by sin and the consequences of sin. It's the only place in which we can discover and experience and hold on to only what is good. The kingdom of heaven is worth trading everything else in for. So what might it look like for you to trade in the things that you value in this life for their full expression of goodness in the kingdom of heaven? And what might it look like if you're struggling with some things which are weighing you down, which are burdening you because you live in a fallen world? What is it like to trade in some of those things for the kingdom of heaven at the moment? In Matthew 19, we read a story of a young guy, and he was really earnest. He was prepared to work hard in order to achieve, earn the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus invited him to trade in his worldly wealth for the kingdom. And that young guy walked away and he was sad because he couldn't believe that the kingdom of heaven could be so great that it was worth turning his back on his worldly wealth for. He struggled to believe that it was so wonderful that nothing in this world could compare with it. It's hard to receive what the kingdom offers when you believe that this life can give you everything that you need. It takes faith to believe in what we can't yet see with our eyes. But Jesus promised and he demonstrated in his life. He offers you the kingdom. Have you ever heard somebody say that they would rather party with their friends in hell than play a harp on some cloud in heaven? People sometimes think of being in heaven as this boring, lifeless experience. But Jesus is saying the complete opposite of that here. He's saying, if you've discovered anything that is life-giving, anything that is of value, anything that becomes precious to you here in this world, you've got to know this. It gets better in the kingdom of heaven. It gets so good that it is worth trading all of that stuff in for. Once you've discovered how good the kingdom is, you will gladly have the kingdom of heaven above all else. May that be true in your experience as you learn from Jesus what is truly good. And what are the things that we are better off allowing Him to purify us from? Let's pray.